Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome Victor Davis Hanson, senior fellow at the Hoover Institution, writing in American Greatness most recently about the peculiar disconnect, the odd disconnect between Ukrainian conflict fighting off the aggressor Russia and Gaza conflict fighting off the aggressor Hamas and its multiple fingered support from Iran, the Hezbollah, the Houthis, the Kitab Hezbollah of Iraq. All of those are part of the aggression directed at the state of Israel. And yet, Victor, a very good evening to you. Ukraine was invaded. The United States supports Ukraine's resistance. So does NATO. That is all straightforward. And the American people understand that as long as we continue to support Ukraine, Russia will be aggressive, but will not be victorious. That is not the same understanding that we have from Gaza, despite the direct similarities about Israel being attacked by a bad actor, Iran, and its surrogates, just as Ukraine was attacked by Russia and its surrogates. Why the disconnect? How do you explain it, Victor? Good evening to you.
It's hard to know, John. We were told that we don't want a wider war in the Middle East if Israel responds, but I mean, responding to Russian aggression involves 6,000 nukes, which are not in the Middle East yet, but Russia surely has. And what Israel does all it can it to warn about collateral damage. It drops leaflets. It gives warnings by text. Ukrainians are under no obligation to do that when they have to hit Russians and civilian centers in Crimea and the Donbass. And, of course, we always say, Israel, be proportionate. But no one says that. We want Ukraine to be disproportionate. And now they're calling for a ceasefire. If I were, or you, John, as a public commentator were to say we need a ceasefire right now in Ukraine, people would question our patriotism, but everybody's calling Israel. So it begs the question, why the disconnect? And I guess there's a lot of reasons. One, there is a democratic base in some key states, Michigan in particular, of Arab Americans and Muslim Americans that pressure the Biden administration to act in a way that's different with Hamas and Israel. Number two, I think they have they demonize the Russian people collectively. They don't separate the Russian people from Putin in the way that they do separate the Gazans from the Hamas leadership. I don't know how that's possible. There's also this DEI element. They see the Hamas people as sort of non-Western, non-white, I don't know what it is, but Russians are the archetypical Hollywood villains with tattoos and bald heads and Russian Orthodoxy and muscular and Russian mafia. They're the villain in every Hollywood movie. So there's a lot of reasons that explain it, but it is a disconnect. And of course, the elephant in the room is that it's a Jewish state. So we apply in the world a different standard to Jewish Israel than we do to, you know, Orthodox Ukraine.
There is observation I've read that a deal of the mitigation that is coming from the Biden administration, asking Israel for a ceasefire, asking Israel not to do this, not to do that, asking for what you'd have to say is peace negotiation in the midst of a war, that this is about partisan politics, parochial partisan politics, looking at the election of 24 and not in terms of geostrategic value, knowing that Iran is the driver and Iran is part of the axis of resistance. Is that something you acknowledge, Victor, that once the election is over, they'll stop this? They won't talk about it anymore?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think after the failure of Russian reset under the Clinton Secretary of State tenure and the Obama outreach to Russia, the left turned on a dime. And then we had Russian collusion, which was a farce in 2016. But whatever we think, even though I think you could prove that Donald Trump was very hard on Russia, he killed 200 of the Wagner Group, he got out of the missile deal, he upped the sanctions, he sold offensive weapons to Ukraine, et cetera, et cetera. But nevertheless, there's a left-wing narrative that Russia is connected with Trump in some of the alt-right, Tucker Carlson's interview. And Hamas is connected with a powerful, a small, very small constituency in the United States, but very powerful under the auspices of the Electoral College in places like Michigan. And given that Michigan, along with Wisconsin, maybe Arizona, Georgia, are considered swing states in 2024, and given, John, that in the past they have decided the state's Electoral College by as little as 10 to 12,000 votes, I think that explains a lot of the Democratic or the left-wing effort to turn hostile to Israel and call for a ceasefire and say they're disproportionate in a way that they do not do with Ukraine. And they just feel that by demonizing the Russian people, they are perpetuating this narrative that they think is still true, even though that Robert Mueller was not able to find any active Russian collusion.
The puzzle additional. I've mentioned it several times now, Iran, Iran, Iran. That is not what we hear from the White House, even though no one disagrees with it in the think tank world, that Iran funded, directed, and continues to direct the Hamas, the Hezbollah, the Houthis. Why doesn't the White House want to talk about that boldly and say, here is the problem, Tehran, not Jerusalem?
They don't want to do it because they came into power with a narrative that said we need to do what Barack Obama tried to do and bring Iran back into the family of nations in the Middle East, even though moderate regimes like the Kuwaitis, the Saudis, the Egyptians, the Jordanians didn't trust them for good reasons. But they tried that, and so they got rid of the Houthis terrorist designation. They let the Lebanese under the Hezbollah subtext negotiate gas rights with Israel to their advantage, to Lebanon's advantage. They tried to get back in the Iran deal. They lifted the sanctions on oil. They gave money to Hamas. And then it all blew up. And for them then to go and retaliate at the source of all of this terrorism would be to admit, as Jake Sullivan said, we had a very calm portfolio. The subtext of that statement, John, when Jake Sullivan said that, not that long before October 7th, was Iran has not been stirring up trouble. And now we realize that Iran is, and if they were to go and attack Iran or warn Iran, they're going to pay a heavy price, and that would prove to everybody that their last 3 years was an ungodly disaster. And then second, we're an election year. And if you go into Iran, you're going to have, they think, I'm not sure that's true, but they think they're going to have a wider Middle East war on their watch during election, and that would play into the Trump narrative that he left office not only with Russia not invading any other country's territorial space after it had during the Bush administration, the Obama administration, and it would during the Biden administration, but more importantly, Iran had behaved between 2017 and 2021, but it hadn't. So I think that's part of the subtext why they just don't want it. They want it out of mind, out of thought, don't think about it, and maybe it'll all go away. They're kind of like in a metaphorical fetal position with their hands over their ears and in a fetal position saying, make it all go away, and it's not going to go away.
There is new information looking beyond Gaza, because there will be an end to this. Hamas is defeated. It will surrender. Looking beyond Gaza, we hear now from Israel that they're preparing a war crime trial or a trial of the perpetrators of October 7th and their commanders, a trial that the report that I read mentioned the Eichmann trial, the man in a glass booth. That will be a demonstration of law and courts and a democracy acting to defend itself. It's speculation now. However, do you project from what we've seen so far that the administration will support such a prosecution of young people who committed these acts and will stay with Israel through the trial, even though we can anticipate there'll be demonstrations across the globe?
No. There's a consensus building in Europe, as we saw with Prince Philip's weighed in editorialized criticism of Israel, that the Western alliance, so to speak, EU, NATO, United States, however we term it, is now decided that it's not in their interest to let Israel destroy Hamas. And if when this trial takes place of these killers and terrorists, you can imagine that the administration will remain mum, just as liberal women have not said a word about the mass rape and deliberate use of rape as a political strategy on October 7th. So it's just not going to happen. And if you want to be crude about it, reductionist, John, if you're in Joe Biden's position and you're a Democrat, you feel that the Jewish community, when they protest, they're lawful, they get a permit, they don't attack people. The other group, the pro-Hamas people, shut down the major bridges in San Francisco or New York, or they deface the Lincoln Memorial, or they go out to national cemeteries in Los Angeles and deface them, or they get arrested, or they attack people, or they swarm Jews on campus. So you don't really worry if you have that mindset. If you feel that the Jewish community votes 70%, they'll talk about not giving as much money, but they're there, and they don't want to lose. They don't want the Arab Muslim constituency to stay home on election day, so they put up with a lot of demonstrations, and they're going to try to be neutral in this war, if not pro Hamas.
Victor Davis Hanson of the Hoover Institution, writing an American Greatness about the disconnect between the prosecution of the resistance in Ukraine and the prosecution of the defense in Israel. Both are under attack by bad actors, Iran and Moscow, and the axis of resistance. We turn now to a puzzling event during the Biden administration, the presentation by the president a week past of his response to the Hur report on documents found in the possession of Mr. Biden when he wasn't vice president. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your Social Security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.